So for the name Jack Benny to mean anything to you, you probably have to be over 50 years old. But for those of you who do know this name, Jack Benny was one of the great comedians of the golden age of television. And he had a skit that illustrated how we place money ahead of everything. So in this skit, Jack Benny is walking down the street, and an armed robber comes up and puts the gun in his face, and he says, "Your money or your life?" And then Jack Benny sort of steps back like this and kind of puts his hand to his face and kind of ponders. And the robber says, "Well?" And Jack Benny says, "Don't rush me. I'm thinking. Well, this morning I want to talk with you for a few minutes about our money and our life. And all too frequently, we choose our money over our life. And here's the reason why. Our lives are surrounded by temporal, material, and passing things. They are every day present to us. And it's easy for us to think that this is what matters most. And yet, our soul's desire can never be satisfied by earthly things. Our soul's desire can never be satisfied by stuff. And that's because our souls have been made for eternity. Recently, I was in Montreal, and this was brought home to me in a particular way. I went to the Montreal Museum of Fine Arts, where there is this amazing exhibition called Pompeii. And as you go through the exhibition, you are immersed in the life, the daily life, of this Roman town on that very day when Mount Vesuvius erupted on the 24th of August in the year 79 AD. First century Pompeii, before the eruption, was a thriving city in what was the coast of what we now call Italy. Wealthy Romans went there for their vacations. It was an import-export city. Every language could be heard spoken on the streets of Pompeii. And it was a place of great political interactions. It had the largest amphitheater in the Roman Empire. It had an immense sports arena. It had vineyards. It had four luxurious bathhouses, and it had temples to 10 deities. In the 18th century, when they began to excavate what was below all of the volcanic ash, one of the things they discovered was the motto of the Pompeians. And this is what was the philosophy of their lives. Enjoy life while you have it, because tomorrow is uncertain. Enjoy life while you have it, because tomorrow is uncertain. As you go through the exhibition, you come to the final two rooms. And here, there's a multimedia recreation of the volcanic eruption that buried the city under meters of ash, and it was left that way for centuries. Until in the 18th century, as I said, they began to excavate it, and what's remarkable is how well the city was preserved. We have a real sense of what life was like in Pompeii on August the 24th in the year 79 AD, before Mount Vesuvius changed everything. Well, I left that exhibit really taken with what I saw, and I've been thinking about it ever since. And I knew today was this gospel reading. And I said, great, what an illustration I've got for this Sunday. But here's the thing I also was thinking about. That motto, enjoy life while you have it, because tomorrow is uncertain, might be a motto to live by, but it sure is not a motto to die by. You might live by it, but you don't want to die by it. In our reading from Luke's gospel, we heard of a wealthy man. He would have fit right into life in Pompeii. He'd had some very good years. He was a very, very good farmer. We have to commend him for his skill, for his diligence, for his hard work. But we do not want to commend him for the attitude that he cultivated. To put it in modern terms, his investments had done very well, and it's time now for some serious upward mobility. Down came the old barns, up went the new barns, unparalleled in their splendor. And if you listen to the gospel reading, that parable, did it strike you, the pronouns that he uses? I, me, I. It was all about him. And then we get to the very heart of his self-talk, and we hear him say, "Soul, you have ample things stored up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." Yep, here is a man who would have loved Pompeii. He was going to enjoy his life. He anticipated that there were many years ahead for him to celebrate everything that he had succeeded. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. Do you know this particular motto is found three other times in the Bible? Twice in the Old Testament, and I don't have time today to talk about those. I'll just mention, one is in Isaiah, the other is in this book called Ecclesiastes that we heard read from a minute ago. But the one I do want to share from you is from 1 Corinthians 15. St. Paul uses this very motto in the longest chapter in the New Testament about the resurrection. And listen to what he says. "If the dead have not been raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If the dead are not raised, sure, live this way." It seems to be a good philosophy. And so we can understand why in Pompeii they said, "Enjoy life while you have it, for tomorrow is uncertain." But did you hear what St. Paul said? If the dead are not raised, this is a good way to invest your life. However, in light of the resurrection, in light of the fact that death can come upon us suddenly, it can knock at the door, as it did on the 24th of August in the year 79 AD. To live our life according to those mottos is not wise. It's not a good investment. It's actually fool's gold. Just as that man thought to himself, "I've got it made. This is great." God shows up and he says, "Excuse me, you are a fool. Tonight, your soul is demanded of you, and all of this stuff that you have accumulated and you're so proud about, who's going to get it?" Now, the Greek language, the language of the New Testament, is a very specific language. It's more specific than English. And the particular verb used here in relation to demand, that your soul is demanded of you, has about it the sense that we have to return to God something that is actually on loan to us. And here's the point Jesus wants us to understand. Our souls have been given to us by God. They are not ultimately ours. And because they have been given to us by God, we are not to spend our lives pampering and spoiling them, as the fool with deep pockets did. No, the years of our earthly life are to be spent investing in eternity. This is because, as I say, and I want to emphasize this, our soul is ultimately God's. And when we come to understand this, it changes everything. We come to realize how shallow is the Pompeian motto, "Enjoy life while you have it, for tomorrow is uncertain." And we realize there's another life creed, another motto by which we have to live our lives, and it's this: life is short, life is uncertain, while the eternal accounting of our soul is certain. So invest in God. It's the exact opposite of what the people of Pompeii thought. Here's the point of today's homily. Jesus wants us to understand that real life is not dependent on our possessions. Hence, avarice is dangerous. It's a deadly sin. It's one of seven. Because it leads a person to direct his aim to the wrong things in life and to ignore what really matters, namely, to be rich towards God. How did Jesus put it today? take heed. Be aware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Did you hear that? He says, take heed, and then he emphasized it by saying, beware. Each one of us has to pay special attention to how the lure of wealth and its counterfeit belief that life's meaning is about material acquisition is a deception, and it tries to deceive us all. And don't just take my word for it. Take the word of a man who had incredibly deep pockets, the writer of our first lesson, who was King Solomon, the writer of Ecclesiastes. And in the passage that we heard read this morning, there's a passage that comes right before it that I want to share to put our reading in its context. And in this passage, Solomon is talking about how he has invested everything in getting as much as he can. And listen to what he says. I searched with my mind how to cheer my body with wine, my mind still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven during the few days of their life. Now listen to what Solomon says about what he did. I made great works. I built houses. I planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forests of growing trees. I bought male, female slaves, and I had slaves who were born in my house. I also had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered to myself silver, gold, and treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, men's delight. Wow. Talk about having it made. It couldn't be better than that, could it? But then we had our reading for this morning. Vanity. A vanity, says the preacher. All is vanity. And then he goes on to say these words that are so striking. Sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill, that's what he did, must leave everything to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is a vanity and a great evil. And not only that, as we toil, we are filled, as he says, with pain, with vexation, and night and day our minds do not rest. You see, if we're consumed with materialism, it leads to a lack of peace, says Solomon. And if you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, repeatedly you have this phrase, vanity of vanities, vanity of vanities. And then you get to chapter 12, right at the end of the book, and know what he says? The end of the matter is this. Fear God. Fear God. Fool, said Jesus, tonight your soul is demanded of you, and whose will this be? That's what Solomon understood. In the end, the fear of God is indeed the beginning of wisdom. We have to cultivate in our lives that we are to invest in God by investing in others. We are to live our life with purpose so as to use the money that has been entrusted to us in whatever way we can, with whatever abundance or the little bit that we have been given, to invest in the lives of others. It's to realize that our eternal souls are shaped and formed in a particular way by how we relate to wealth, how we relate to status and our place on the social ladder. And let me end by quoting Moses. Moses lived to be 120 years old. Moses, the writer of Psalm 90, it's the only psalm he wrote in the whole of the Psalter. And in today's psalm, Moses, who by this time is over the age of 80, says, God, for you, 1,000 years is like a day, but my life is no longer than a day. And then he goes on to say, we're like grass, that in the morning we sprout up, and then by the evening we wither and die. So says Moses, with that kind of an understanding of who we are, how should we live? And this is his prayer, which is our prayer today. Teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. The problem with that rich fool, he had lots of stuff, but his heart was impoverished because he did not grow in wisdom. Dear friends, today Jesus speaks to us with a passion. Jesus speaks to us with a conviction. Jesus speaks to us today about what matters most. And it's the answer to that question. Will it be your money or will it be your life? Please do not settle for the motto of Pompeii. Enjoy life while you have it, for tomorrow is uncertain. Don't settle for the motto of the rich fool, let's eat, drink, and be merry. Rather, take to heart the only motto, the only life creed that in the end matters. Life is short. Life is uncertain. While the eternal accounting of our souls is for certain. So, invest. Invest in God.